Yes, it's another good morning God has given us to listen to His word, and we continue to depend on Him for His grace, His mercy, His wisdom. You know, when we were looking, last time we had started looking at the danger of false teachers, 2 Peter chapter 2, and there are things that Peter was trying to tell the church, that you know what? Just as in the old times, there were false teachers and false prophets also from among you, they're going to come false teachers and false prophets. And the concern was that these people will bring in secretly false teachings, destructive heresies, that they can even deny the Lord who brought them. And in that, they will bring themselves swift destruction. So, in essence, we are saying that there was a difference between a false teaching where someone has made a mistake and maybe learned something wrong and is just honestly teaching something that is wrong out of ignorance, and someone who is actually a false teacher or a false prophet, someone who deliberately brings in a false teaching with the aim of turning the hearts of people either to themselves or in the wrong direction. And that is usually the challenge of a false teacher. A false teacher is someone who clearly knows that this is wrong and has a passion, you know, to really confuse and to bring in wrong heresies. And by this, they end up causing more havoc to the church. And you see what the Bible is saying, that they actually were among you. They have forgotten that Jesus bought them with a price, and they end up doing things on their own human effort, and they bring the way of truth into blasphemy. That means whenever such people come in, they discredit the gospel. You see, when someone, let's say, is after money, they will preach every sermon that leads you for you to give, you know, or they will want, by all means, bring this. The financial pressure will be much. And there'll be little concern on you as a person, on your welfare and all that, but the focus will really be on what they can get. So you can see that at times the intentions may be veiled, in that you might think it is one thing that is good that is being advocated, but false teachers always end up in a different direction, and their true intentions are most of the time hidden, but they come out and are revealed, especially when God gives us discernment. And now, of course, we're able to see that there is a doom for false teachers. And if we compare with the example that God gave, that if the angels, you know, the fallen angels, the ones that initially were cast out of God's presence, and you know, they saw the sons of men, and they wanted the daughters of men were beautiful, and they wanted to come and make children with them. So they left their habitation, and the Bible says God did not spare them, and He cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains to be reserved for judgment. That means, you know, there are demons that are so wicked that even today they are still chained. The devil, as we understand, is more of just a lying. He is a deceiver. He is not the strongest of the demons. His skill is deception. But some of the very strong demons are actually tied up, still in chains, in the bottomless pit, because of the trespass. They committed a trespass. They committed an action that was not warranted. It was not in their, you know, in their purview to do, because God did not want the seed of man to be corrupted. But you see, that is what the fallen angels aimed for. That is what they wanted to do. They wanted the corruption of the seed of man. They wanted the corruption of the human race. And the result of that is that the Nephilim came on the earth, and sin and wickedness increased on the earth. And the end result is that God destroyed that world. Now, the other example that was given is the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible tells us that Lot was a righteous man, and every day in his heart he was burdened by what he was seeing. He was burdened by the wickedness of the people. He tried to preach to them, but they could not hear him. And as he was con- continually burdened. It is the end of this is that God had to rescue him and his family out of that when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And if God says, and we can see that their lawless deeds, their all these actions that they were doing, resulted in their destruction, but God knows how to save godly people. So this is an assurance for us that even in the midst of such temptations, as we continue to look unto God, even in a generation that is similar to Sodom and Gomorrah today, God knows how to deliver godly people, and we must be patient and await him that he is able to deliver us. So when we now see, we're going to read from verse 12, the Bible says, but this, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, they speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. So you remember we said the wages of sin is death. Now we can see there are also wages of unrighteousness, which is similar to that wages of sin. And they, you know, what do? They count it as pleasure to carouse. That means during the day they are just sleeping around, or they are just enjoying themselves, taking pleasure. And the Bible says they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sinning, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You know, these are not easy words that are spoken about them. Even Paul spoke that, you know, these men are like, their teaching spreads like gangrene. You know, have nothing to do with them. Rebuke them publicly. You know, otherwise they will destroy congregations. And you can see how Peter also does not, you know, leave it simple for them. He says, look at this. These men, they are blots. They are blemishes. You know, they are people who are just enjoying themselves in the daytime. They are just spending in pleasure. Their desire is, they are eating with you, but their hearts are covetous. Their hearts are full of adultery. You know, someone, you know, like the way people give money for the sake of, someone will say, I don't give money for the sake of money. You know, they give money, but their intentions are wickedness. You know, they will either ask for things in return. So you can see there is covetousness. The Bible says their hearts are trained in covetous practices. They cannot even cease from sinning. That means that these are people who are believers, yes. These are people who are, you know, are apparently in the church. You know, they have positions, but they will try to stop sinning, but they cannot. Why? Because they have trained their heart in covetous practices. Covetousness is where you're desiring things. You know, it's about jealousy. It's about wanting things. You know, you want this, you want this, you want this, you want this. There is no point of even thanksgiving over what God has given you. But you're desiring more and more and more. And that's why you will wonder at times, hey, what are you, this person has collected? Is it not enough? Why are they still eager for this? They will take widows' properties. They will devour, you know, orphans' properties. But there is no caring. There is no heart for it. And this, you can see, it is because they love the wages of unrighteousness. And you're given the example of Balaam. You know, when you look at the scriptures, you see Balaam was actually a prophet. He was an accurate prophet. He even prophesied about the Messiah. You know, he's able to prophesy about the Messiah. He's one of the prophets that gave accurate prophecy of the Messiah. But you see, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He is called to go and curse Israel. He knows God does not want him to go. He tries to plead with God to go. Can he go? Then eventually God tells him, go. But you see, that going that God tells him to go is not really permission. It's just like someone begs you, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? And you get weary and you tell them, okay, go. But that go is not really permission, you know. But he should have understood that God telling him go did not mean clearance. And the Bible says God was angry that he went, and he sent an angel to kill him, to strike him dead. And it is only the donkey that saved him. Now, whenever you see people selling prophecies, people merchandising the gift of God, it is because the gold has become their God. And before you know it, they become like Balaam, the wages of unrighteousness. That means they cannot distinguish that this is not a right source of money. This is an okay source of money. You know, I should take this gift, I should not take this gift. I was listening to a clip yesterday of one of the, you know, those times musicians, I think, Panam Pasi, and he's a very good gospel musician who some years back, he was offered almost £24 million, and that was at the height of his career. And they offered him, look here, we want to give you this money for a 3-year contract, but on one condition, you need to reduce the number of times you use the name Jesus in your songs. And you know, you don't even need to say it. You can use the righteous one. You can use the greatest lover. You can use anything. Just, you don't even need to say the name Jesus. And you know, he's told, and even there is more where this money came from. And the man looked at them and said, look here, there is no other name given in heaven and on earth by which we must be saved, except the name of Jesus. So if I don't mention the name of Jesus, I have nothing. And he says, you people, you keep your money, I will keep my name. Now you see, it was an enticement. There was an enticement that was targeting his soul, that if he had accepted, yes, he would have received money, he would have been wealthy. By worldly standards, we would have said he has made it. Hey, he has made it, he's doing well. That is worldly standards, but to God, he would have lost an eternal destiny. He would have lost why God put him on the earth. And you see, this is just because of the wages of unrighteousness. The wages of unrighteousness can lead you to error, can lead you to be blocked. Your mind is blocked. That's why Balaam, eventually God tells him, go, but don't say anything that I did not tell you. And eventually the man has to confess what God has blessed, he has no power to curse. Despite him being given the wages of unrighteousness. So he has to look for another way. And that is why it is called the doctrine of Balaam, where he enticed the Israelites by showing the Moabites how to entice them into sexual immorality. And that is why the only way that the Israelites ended up under a curse is because they cast themselves from the blessed position. You see, anything that God has done, any place that God has placed you, he has placed you there for a reason and a purpose. And when you are in that position, you are blessed. Why? Because you are in the blessed place. You are in the place of your assignment, where God has positioned you to do his work. Now, the only way that the devil can get you out of alignment with God is that, yes, you might, you know, he might not be able to curse you, but he can cause you to sin. Now, when the Israelites were enticed by Balaam into adultery, the Moabite women, you can see the Bible says that even in broad daylight, someone, they sacrificed to idols, they committed immorality, they rose up to play, and someone ran into the camp with a woman, with the Moabite woman, direct into the room. And it only had to took the intervention of that young man who went with a spear and speared them. And that is when that, you know, calamity stopped. And this is because God was angry with this. So you can see the ways of Balaam. They are anointed. Yes, they have the gifts, because the giftings of God are without repentance. The things that God has given that he will not take away. But you see, these people, because they are false teachers, they started on the right way, but then they allowed their hearts to be swayed away by other things. And you can see, by the deception of wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth, they lost their place, and they are recorded as those in the wrong direction. Now, look at what the Bible says. Even though this man, he desired this, and a donkey has to speak. Look at the mercy of God. God is so merciful, even for these false prophets, that he desires that they be restrained. You can imagine God using a donkey to save the madness of a prophet. But the prophet still persisted in his own way, and that's what the Bible says, there are wells without water. Can you imagine people have dug water? They have dug the ground, they have found a well, and they start to use the well, and before you know it, the well is empty. And this is speaking about spiritually. You know, spiritually, when someone starts the wrong way, eventually they lack the substance. And whatever thing they were running on, whatever, you know, gifting that they had, whatever anointing little that they were given, before you know it, they realize they have run empty. And that's why the Bible refers to them, they are wells without water. You know, when the Bible speaks about wells, it says, with joy we shall draw from the wells of salvation. So salvation is described as a well. You know, when Jesus told the woman in Samaria, he told her that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, there is that aspect of that. If you knew who asked you for water, he would have asked him for living water. He would have given you living water. So there is a living water that is available through salvation for everyone that is thirsty, everyone that is depending on God, everyone that is trusting in him. But you see, because men will want to run on their own strength, they eventually become wells without water. That means there is no source of joy. There is nothing that is refreshing from them. But you see, when those bellies, when those rivers flow from within us, then they bring life. Think about the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that there are four rivers that divided, and each of the tributaries will generate, you know, different things for the garden. There will be the plants, there will be the gold, there will be the resin. The different aspects come from that, those tributaries of the river. And that tells us that from us, when we are filled by the Spirit, then out of our own bellies, you know, rivers of living water flow. And from these various rivers and channels, we are able to serve God acceptably. There are things in each and every one of us that were only given to us. God knows the uniqueness of your unction in your life. God knows the uniqueness of the grace, and he will hold us accountable for what we did with what he gave us. And that's why it's important that each of us to examine ourselves. Are we just wells without water? Are we just winds, you know, clouds that are full of rain? They're black and they're just being pushed and taken in any direction by the wind. You know, you can see the sky and you can see that the sky is dark and you expect it will be raining, except a wind comes. The wind will come and will just push away those clouds. And this is what the Bible says. They are clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Some words are hard, but this is the danger. This is the doom of false teachers. Look at what verse 18 says. For they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure the lusts of the flesh through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the two proverbs. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her own, wallowing in the mire, in the mud. Now you see, that's the challenge of false teachers. It results in also creating false disciples. You can see that they are promising people to be free, but yet they, the false teachers, are under bondage. You know, they themselves are overcome by corruption. They are overcome by sins, and they are they themselves in bondage. Now you can imagine a blind man trying to lead another blind man. A man who is bound trying to lead another man who is bound. What is the end result? Is what Jesus described, that these Pharisees, they go from sea to sea just to win one convert and convert them into worse a son of hell than they are before. That's why the Bible is saying that these guys, yes, sadly, they end up worse than they were even in the world. You can imagine the era of false teaching. Someone left immorality. They left sin. Before they were stealing, they were doing this. And then they come and they are taught that, you know what? Sin is not, God is not against sin. God has dealt with sin. And sin is not an issue. And someone says, oh, okay, so there's nothing that I can do that will separate me from God. So, okay, sin cannot separate me from God. Okay. So whatever I do, I'm the righteousness of God. Okay. Before you know it, the person is now convinced in their mind. They are now in error. Yes, the doctrine was taught, but because their understanding is futile, the false teaching comes in. And this man now becomes a worse person. He starts to do things that even when he was an unbeliever, he did not do. The Bible says that they become a worse, a son of hell than they were before. This person becomes entangled in sins and deception, worse than it was before. And sadly, the devil ensures they even have doctrine to accompany. That's why it's called the doctrine of devils. You know, it's a systematic body of teaching that leaves people worse than they were before. And you find the person is lost in their own ways. You know, they have not known the way of righteousness. They cannot turn to the holy commandment. And then that's what the Bible says, that their end is worse than they were from the beginning. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a pig, having washed, returns to its own mud. May God help us that we stick to the truth, that we know the truth, that we depend on the truth, that we live according to the truth. And by discernment, God helps us that we do not fall victims of false teachers and victims of false doctrines, that if we must examine ourselves, how are we after the teaching? Has this made us more righteous, or has encouraged us to be more unfaithful to God? And if we genuinely ask ourselves these questions, then we will be able to know for sure there are things that are not right. And I pray that God will give us mercy, because there is more to the things of God than what people think popularity or what people think numbers. Know that all these people cannot be wrong. You know, when you open this Bible, the Bible says narrow is the way that leads to life and few find it, but broad is the road that leads to destruction and many are on it. I pray that God will give us discernment. God will give us direction. God will give us the wisdom, that our eyes be open, our mind be open. And indeed, anyone that is lost, anyone that is taught wrong, that God will bring them into alignment, into repentance, to know the way of righteousness and to live according to righteousness. And indeed, as Peter said, the reason I write these things, I know you are firmly established in them, is that because I want to put you in remembrance even after I am gone. And you can see such writings are helping us today. We are put into remembrance that even in these days, may God help us to hear the right people. May God help us to walk in truth. May God help us not to be destroyed by the plans of the enemy. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us insight into this. You're welcome, my brother, as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Man. Yeah, I mean, you said it well, and it's often said that it's easier to do the bad things, and it's hard to always do the right things. Mm. It's unfortunate that these false teachers always appeal to our weaknesses and desires. They are very funny in a way that when they're interpreting the Bible, they interpret it to entice our weaknesses, to entice the soft spots. You know, the false teachers telling you something, interpreting the Bible for you in a way that you would think that, okay, it is okay. For example, you find someone telling you, there's nowhere in the Bible where it said you should not drink.
Yeah.
Only the drunkard. But how do you define drunkenness? So take one or two, that is okay. That's already appealing to the weakness of the flesh.
Yeah.
You know? Then that is how you see, you find that they now get traction and all that.
Mm.
And those are the things that are easy to do, unfortunately, that again lead you to destruction as a Christian.
Yeah.
So it is, again, I think upon us as Christians always stay awake.
Mm.
I think it is clear if you're under the mantle of a false teacher, you as a Christian, as Peter says, I mean, they well without water.
Yeah.
You will not witness any spiritual growth in you.
True.
I don't think you'll enjoy any spirit, any fruits of the spirit in any way.
Yeah.
You will be going to this place every day, listen to this preaching, that you still feel empty within yourself.
Yeah.
The sadness, though, also that as long as you continue committing yourself under this, if you're not careful, just like you gave the example of Balaam, just like you gave the example of Solomon Gomorrah, you risk being divinely neglected by God. And when you're divinely neglected, because he gave us the will, so you end up, you know, going on with the sin that you're doing, your heart is hardened, and then pay off with the repercussion, unfortunately, which is death. So we just need to be careful. So things, we may think we have had our way. We may, sometimes I know as Christians, we start saying, if it was not for God, I don't think he would be allowing me to do this. You get?
Yeah.
He's allowing me to do this because I think it's godly. We need to understand that sometimes we push ourselves to be divinely neglected by God.
Yeah.
Because of our persistence in doing what is not right.
Mm.
So yes, that is the risk they are in. But it's clear that once your spirit is strong, you will feel it.
Yeah.
When you're under the mantle of false prophecy.
Mm.
You know. And unlike the children of the darkness, there are certain things that the children of light, the spirit cannot accommodate.
Yeah.
The child from darkness can get away with sin very easily, you know. But then that of the light, you try to sin that one time and you're exposed.
Yeah.
Again. So those are some of the things that I wanted to add. But yes, we just need to be careful. Yeah.
And actually, you know, even that exposure is a form of love from God. Eh? And at times people don't see it, but it's actually because God wants you to be saved. Eh? When that lady becomes pregnant, it's not because God really hated her. No, it's because God actually wants her to be exposed so that you can enter into repentance. And at times we see it differently, but it's actually a form of love of God. And may God help us and give us wisdom that we don't continue in error. You know, there is an insistence on error, a heart trained in covetous practices. May God help us not to end up there, and that we have discernment to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that is life. Your word that is strength, your word that guides us, guides our steps, guides our actions, that we are enabled to walk in truth, we are enabled to walk in life, we are enabled to be guided by you. I pray for wisdom, for those eyes that need to be opened to reveal all truth, O God, that we shall know the truth, O God, And any destructive heresies that we have had, that we have encountered, that indeed we may be delivered, O God, by your mercies. I plead your mercies over our lives. None of us is immune to this, but indeed it's only your mercy, your preservation, and your protection, O God. Help us, O God, that we do not end up in the ways of unrighteousness like Balaam, in the wages of unrighteousness. And we will not interpret wrongly allowances, meaning that they are liberties. No, God, you are a God of rightness. You are a God of life, a God of righteousness. Teach us your ways. Let us walk in your truth. Indeed, restore everything that comes from you, the joy of your salvation, O God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Cover our ways, watch over us, protect and preserve us. We look unto you. You are faithful, you are holy, and you are great. May your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.